It's so good to be here and to meet once again on the Lord's Day. How was your week? Do you have the feeling when you come into the Lord's house, what a joy and privilege and a blessing it is that we can leave this troublous, sinful and dying world for this house of God? Is that your feeling? I wonder. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. How was your week? I wonder, what is the news latest? According to Straits Times a few days ago, it says WHO has declared that this so-called swine flu has now been declared a pandemic. In other words, it has gone to many parts of the world, so it becomes a global problem. Are you surprised? Did not the Lord tell the disciples who asked him, "Lord, what are the signs of your coming?" And one of the major signs is pestilence. And that includes all kinds of serious illnesses, many of them doctors and scientists have no answer. That is a pestilence. And the present pandemic is a warning bell to all of us. Do not kid yourself and think all will be well. All will not be well. Dear friends, if you are straying into the world, I say, turn back. In Jesus Christ alone, and in His holy word, is the direction for the future, safety, security, peace, and a good future only in Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you here this morning for that purpose? I'm glad to see all of you. Now, 1 Peter Chapter 1. I was reading the news, and what are the things that strike you? I was very impressed, in that sense, shocked, that there is a man called Cristiano Ronaldo, who, because he knows how to kick a ball, makes £500,000 a week in his salary alone. Wow. How does that equate in Sing dollars? Something like, I don't know, every hour he gets $1,000. Do you know how to manage $1,000 every hour? After the service, you have already got about 2,000 hours, $2,000. What do you do with it? You go home. By the time you reach home, you have another 2,000. By tomorrow, you got, wow, 20,000. What do you do with the money? And this is what he's got just because he knows how to kick a ball. These things shock us. They cause us to think, what is life? I say, dear friends, here we talk of eternal values, not money, but everlasting security and peace and joy that knows no end. And for that purpose, I hope you are here, dear friends. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the letter of Peter. And whenever you read these things, ask who wrote it. Who is Peter? Do you know? Of course you know that he was a fisherman. And in the beginning of the Gospels you read, he was by the Sea of Galilee. By how many of you have seen the Sea of Galilee? When we do our tour of Holy Land and we sail on the Sea of Galilee, the tour guide said, "We are going to have lunch today and we are going to eat St. Peter fish." So that gives us the context. That's where he worked and followed the Lord Jesus, Peter. Now, what else do we know about Peter? The one who wrote this book that we are going to read and then out of his words get comfort and blessing. Who was Peter? In many ways, he was the chief of the apostles because he was always the one who spoke first. And in that way, he is quite well known. Now you say, how come Peter wrote? He's only a fisherman. I said, dear friends, when God's Spirit comes on you, as God's Spirit changed Peter, he began to serve the Lord in a new way. And I say today, to all of you listening, may God's Spirit touch some heart to consider or reconsider what you are doing with your life. At the end of life, you look back and ask yourself, what did I do in my life? Now look at Peter. If the Lord had not called him and he forsook the fishing nets and the boat, only to follow Jesus, he would have lived and died a fisherman, unknown. All he did contribute to the country was that fish were caught and bought and eaten, and people say, good, St. Peter fish. That's all. But now here we are reading out of the pen of Peter, being blessed. Did you ever ask yourself, will I ever be a blessing to someone? Please, let us consider our lives. Don't just live for the 70, 80 years and at the end of it, go into the Straits Times obituary page that so and so passed away. But let it be known that so and so in his lifetime served the Lord Jesus Christ and turned men and women to the kingdom of God. Will it be known of you? Can it be? Peter was a very quarrelsome fellow. As you read in Luke's Gospel, in John's Gospel, even on the night of the Lord's Supper, having finished supper, he was quarreling with the rest of the 12, all of them, having heard that Jesus said that, well, soon I will be taken and then I will establish a kingdom. They were very concerned about the kingdom. Where will I fit in? Peter's concern, I'm the big voice. Will I be the deputy prime minister or something like that? He said, dear friends, we must set our eyes, our sights on the eternal things, not on things of this earth. Now, what does Peter say to us? While our key verse is verse 22, which says, the last part of it, that you love one another. This is the key message for this morning. Are you coming here to be a Christian listener and worshipper? The lesson for you this morning is that you love one another. Being a member of Calvary Pandan, just routinely come in, pay your courtesy call, go out, go home, and melt into the world and do the same old things. Every week come in, go back, do the same old things, and nothing improves, nothing progresses. Is that what you are here for? No. Verse 22 says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is the message that God wants for us all to think on this morning. Only one message. Verse 22, the last part. See, you come here to worship. See that you don't come here and return just the same. That is a waste of time. You might as well have kept your bus fare and done something else for the 2 hours you are here. No, but dear friends, this morning, let's be serious. When you read this, it is God giving you a message through his servant, the fisherman called Peter. And just because Peter was willing to forsake all, Jesus used him. Can Jesus use you also? Answer is yes, on condition you give yourself up to the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus heard all this squabbling and quarreling after the Lord's Supper, what did he say to Peter? Peter, you watch out. Satan is coming for you. And Peter says, so Lord, what do you think of me? Even if other people deny you, I never deny you. Even to prison, Lord. Even to the death, I'll follow you. Amazing words. Say, talk only, no action. For very soon, he's made the record of his life. The only one known forever and ever as the one who denied Jesus 3 times. Could it be you? Possible? Yes, we're never so sure. Don't be so sure that you don't deny the Lord Jesus. But never mind. Let's come. Afterwards, Jesus changed him. And not just him, but all the 11 other disciples. All of them were transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit. And I say what I'm saying about them can apply to all of you here. All of us. When we yield to Him and come to Him and say, Lord, take my life. I want to follow in the steps of Peter. I've denied you many times by pretending not to be a Christian and joining in the crowd in my language, in my way of life, in my way of communication and money making. Lord, sorry. I want to be used. Jesus can use any of us here as He used Peter. So Peter says to us, see that you coming to this church today to hear the gospel, love one another. For if you do not, and go back and do the same old things and forget what you heard today, it is a waste of your time. Now, to make this message, I suggest we start from the verse 1. And we'll take certain related messages. And out of it, may God speak to all of us here. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, no more a fisherman in the Sea of Galilee, ever since Jesus called him. Now he's an apostle. What's an apostle? One who is sent by Jesus, commissioned. You go no more to fish, but to catch men as fish. This is how the Lord addressed him in the kingdom. That was the offer. So, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Asia. Now, for those places, we may as well say, Peter is writing now to the Christians in Asia. Singapore, right here. Does this letter apply to us? Answer is absolutely. God's word is written for all time, for all people, in every place, here in Calvary Pandan. Speaks to you. Please don't go to sleep. Yeah. Listen carefully. Because it may be that the turning point of your life today, maybe the turning point in one of your weaknesses. Weakness of being self-centered, selfish, critical of others, coming to the church looking for people who are so uppity. Yes. Only myself is good. Well, that attitude has got to go. As Peter says, see that you love one another. Now, this letter is written to elect. Verse 2. This letter addresses those who are in this company of God's people called elect. Are you an elect? If you have heard the gospel and received the Savior and see yourself from now on as a follower and you cry to the Lord, Lord, save me. And the Holy Spirit put His seal on you, set you apart. Now you are a child of God because you've heard the gospel and you have received the Savior. You are an elect. Chosen of God. Amazing. We are not here today to discuss the finer points of theology, but I'm just saying, if you have received the Savior, you are chosen. You are special. God has a mark on you. Simply because you heard the gospel and you said, I want Jesus to be my Savior and no one else. You are an elect, chosen of God. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you say this morning? Bless the Lord, O my soul. I am here because He has loved me and called me to be His servant. I worship you. All honor, praise, thanks, power, and every blessing is to God the Father and no one else, because He, even as we sang in our doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That is how you honor God. May we sing, not from the mouth, but from the heart, to say, it's so good to come to God's house and feel that we belong. God is my Father. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So, verse 3 says, blessed be God, the Father. Not anyone in this church. We don't receive any glory or credit for what we are doing. We all are but unprofitable servants. All the session members are here but serving God as servants. All honor, glory is to God. Is that your offering to God today? Because in this verse, read on, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again. Begotten us again to remind us, look, you come to church, it is because you are begotten of God to a new life. Meaning to say you are born again. Meaning to say you are no longer living the old life anyhow you like, and striving your best in your own, by your own effort. No more. When you become a Christian, you hand over your life to the Lord and He gives you a new life. His life. Begotten again. Remind ourselves always. Because eventually, this morning's message is to lead you to the point where you say, hey, all these here in this congregation of so many hundreds, all these are my brothers and sisters. And they deserve to be treated and seen as such brothers and sisters. It will change your whole perspective of coming to church. This is the purpose of this verse that we read. See then that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. How do you do this loving one another with a pure heart, fervently? Because we realize our coming here is of God. In the day when you heard the gospel, you would believe. Now you come in with a new life God has given to you, and you are admitted into the family of God. This is the whole point of our coming, because we belong. And if you belong, then you must act and behave as if you do belong, and not a routine courtesy call, as I said. Come in, go out, and it does no impact upon you. So, the middle part of verse 3, begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because our Savior rose from the dead, this call to follow Him is meaningful. It makes sense. In life, we all look for leaders. All of us do. What leader is there who can lead you forever into wonderful blessings? None on earth. As we were driving here this morning, my wife and I, as always, we thank God. Another day. Then we think. I say, you know, as I drive along, I recall all the old names. So many great leaders of our country. All of them are now gone. Amazing, isn't it? But we here serve a leader who is never gone. You can come in, you can finish, your lifetime is finished, you go, and the congregation here is renewed. But the Savior we honor and worship and we adore is the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Not like the leader of the country, head of the bank,
The richest men, all this, maybe your friends, they feel so good. Today they're gone. And they take their turn. One by one, come and go. One by one, dies. Except we have a Savior, wonderful Savior. So, He gives us the life, begotten again. His life in us. Do you feel that life in you? Do you know you have that life? If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given you that life. When you come to Jesus Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. All things pass away. All things become new. Then you live the Christ life, because His life is in you. Now He says, prove it. We are family. Do you love one another? Please. This is the message today. Now read on. And He has given us an inheritance. Verse 4 says, the inheritance is incorruptible. Is there anyone here who has been left an inheritance by some good relative? Those things come and go. Sometimes it's better not to have an inheritance because it can be very complicated and full of worries and sorrows once you get that inheritance. But here is a wonderful inheritance. Describe the inheritance. Verse 4. Incorruptible, undefiled, absolutely perfect, brand new, needs no repairs, no yearly rates to pay, and all kinds of burdens with the inheritance. God gives you that inheritance. And all of us here have that inheritance. We are all equal. Nobody has got more, nobody has got less. We all get an inheritance that is unburdened by anything. So, do you know that? If not, you say, thank God I know today. Yes, congratulate yourself. Alright, coming to Jesus Christ with inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fade is not away, doesn't grow old, and after a while they say, no good. Got to renew it again. Reserved in heaven for you. When we arrive in heaven, no matter how sorrowful and burdensome your life was in the last days, especially if you grow old and grow sick, and when we all get to heaven, we have that inheritance there waiting for us, reserved with your name on it. Now this is the reward of your coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So while we all have this blessing of an inheritance in this church, everyone has equal. Now, coming every Lord's Day, remind yourself, I have learned today to take note of other members. In a big church like ours, it's inevitable that there is a possibility you come in and out, and after 10 years, you only know a few people, and the rest of the people you do not know. True? Possible, yes. But after today, I hope there will be an improvement. It says here, see that you love one another. How do you love one another? For a start, I say, we all can do something you never thought you could do. Number one, pray for one another. What is it you pray for every day? Thank God for good sleep. Thank God for good health. Thank God for another day, and then make more money, make improve in my work, and thank God for my children, their studies, full stop. How about thank God for my church? That is verse 22. Thank God for other believers. Try and make friends. How about resolve and say, Lord, help me that I will try and make a new friend maybe once a month for a start. Try that. Yes. As we get to know one another better, then your attachment also to the church increases, improves. And very soon you'll find it a much better experience coming to church because you have taken this verse seriously. See then that you love one another with the unfailing love. You don't smile and say good morning just because you have to, and you switch on the smile switch and you smile. No, you don't. There is unfailing, not made up, not put up, but earnestly, honestly, sincerely, I want to know a friend. And you introduce yourselves, then you enlarge yourself. Okay? You begin to pray one for another. How do you love one another if you don't pray one for another? So this is the first thing we can do. Pray. And as you know one another, we begin to care one for another. To share our mutual concerns. And then to thank God for one another, to congratulate one another. When someone does well, it is not uncommon for some others to get green-eyed and jealous. Possible? Yes, very possible. So we want to really put into practice here what the Word of God says. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Only because I am a Christian. I know you are a Christian. I know we all together are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be your friend. So that if there is something I can do for you, let me do it. Tell me, I will do. This is how we can love one another and not be critical. Yes, there are some people who find fault for nothing because it is in them to want to find fault. That is not love. And if you smile and shake hands and appear to be friendly, but actually in the heart you don't mean those things, it says here, unfeigned love. Feigned love is hypocrisy, pretending. Please, in this church, let there be none who has a feigned love. Pretending to be a friend, but actually not a friend. How terrible it is. Now let's read on. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When we come in here, be thankful. As a Christian, don't indulge in self-pity. See, I was born a born loser. Always miss. The good things I always miss. You're so sorry for yourself. No. Why don't you pray that God will show you where He has blessed you? So many things He's blessed you with, and be. Rejoice. As we are going to read in a moment, we do rejoice. Verse 6. Now, we can love one another in the midst of sorrow, possible, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, maybe you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, but your problems are, I am not aware. But some are announced in our weekly. Yes. Sickness can be terrible trial, a terrible burden, because it hits home. Your loved one has been stricken with something serious, and that becomes a terrible burden. How can you rejoice? How to rejoice, you tell me? And that tells us, get all our members to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the basis for any rejoicing that you have. Young people, boys and girls, when you come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive Him as Savior, that is the first thing to rejoice in. And ever since that day, when you give your life to Jesus, He gives you a new life. Every day is sweeter than the day before. Live it. Believe it. And act it. To know that you are a believer and you have other believers here to relate to and to love them and to share their problems with them and to encourage them. This is all how we can do, what we can do to love one another with unfeigned love. Do practical things. Somebody is sick in the house, you know she's old and she's alone. Prepare some good food. Some of you housewives, go and visit and together share some food, together share a prayer, together share a chorus. That's how you love one another. So look at verse 6.
wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are inhabitants through manifold temptations.
How many of our golden years members are now getting weaker and weaker? Yes. I dare say we don't all grow stronger and stronger. But it is the other way around. And very soon, you get into the golden years group, and there you know that it is not the best thing always to grow older. Because once you grow older, you get into the age bracket where you are prone to all kinds of diseases. And then verse 6 becomes something you've got to practice. How to practice to greatly rejoice because I got Parkinson's? How to greatly rejoice when I'm stuck in a wheelchair, can't move? How to greatly rejoice when I'm put into a bed in the hospital? Yes, these are the realities sooner or later you're going to face with. How to? Verse 6. If need be, inhabitants through many temptations. These temptations are real and everyday troubles that come our way. Sickness, accidents. Our sister Margaret was playing badminton, I was told. And one fall, she tore her tendon Achilles. The tendon at the back of your heel was torn. Now she's in crutches. Now that is a temptation. She said, wow, God, what happened? I thought I was going to be a blessing to my children. We play badminton together, but mother is no longer as young as before. And your tendon gets pulled and it bursts. That is a temptation. You never know when it's coming your way. And then you get stuck in the bed. You can't move. You can't go and do your daily things. That is a temptation. And how can I rejoice? Verse 6. 7. This is a trial of your faith. It's much more precious than of gold that perishes. Because you purify gold. How do you purify gold? It says you put into the furnace. That's how you purify gold. When you put into a hot furnace, hot enough, the gold melts. And all the impurities vaporize and disappear. Then you get what? Pure gold. But that gold will never be pure until it goes through the fire. Now the application. Dear friends, your Christian character will never come out as gold until you go through purifying process. And God will send it to you in a way you did not know, did not anticipate. You can be hit by something and then you go through suffering. During that suffering, God speaks to you and refines you. Holy Spirit refines your character. And very soon you come out after you've been purified enough. Impurity is gone and then the gold is pure. So Peter says, take heart. If you are being tempted by these sickness, accidents, which are all like temptations, and you go through the burning heat of suffering, endure. Because God has a purpose. God has a purpose in your life that going through this, you come out as gold. But better than gold, because gold perishes in the end. Gold is nothing. But your character, your Christian character and your Christian witness is purified. And why is this so? In order that we may be found, I'm still on verse 7, the last part. You may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When He appears, how will you be? This is the question. Today He says, love one another. If at the time that Jesus Christ appears, you are caught striving with one another for no good reason, finding fault and wasting your energies in things that are not glorifying to God, it will not be a good witness. Right? But let us who are wanting to love one another, when we are tried, we might be found ultimately to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When we meet Him, we may be able to say, Lord, it was good to be a Christian. Lord, it was good you sent me that disease. Lord, it was good to have the accident because of those things, you also sent me the Holy Spirit to refine me, to teach me. So many lessons you cannot learn as a well person, but when you are in the hospital bed, or when you are at home, you are stuck there, you have got nowhere to go, and when you turn to the Word of God, it begins to speak to you. And the Holy Spirit begins to refine your life. And at the coming of Jesus, you can say, Lord, thank you for that sickness. Thank you for that experience. Because I know you meant it for my good. Then you will say, Lord, how I love you. How do we love Him today? You say, I never saw Jesus. How do I love Him? Verse 8 tells you how. Listen. Verse 8 says, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that true? Yes. Make this verse precious to yourself. I love my Lord, firstly because He first loved me. You all know this one. We love Him because He first loved us. I love Him because He came down to earth for me. I love Him because He went to the cross for me. I love Him because He shed His blood to wash me of my sins, and daily He walks with me. He loves me. His words are so comforting because they are words of truth and everlasting life. You cannot get those words anywhere else. Not in any poetry book or philosophy book or any kind of book. Only the Word of God. And there Jesus speaks to you. Then He tells you, you are my child. These things are sent to try you, to make you realize and to remember on this earth, this is not your home. You're just a passing through. And while you're here, you will meet with these things, but I am sufficient for you. Turn to me. Many people forget the Lord because things are too good. Every day, everything goes my way. Then I forget the Lord. It is so easy a temptation. But God loves you, sends those things to try you and to turn you back to Himself. Then you can say, verse 8 again, I want to read this so that you will remember it. Whom having not seen, my Lord Jesus, I have not seen Him with my naked eyes. I only see Him in His Word. Now, while I have not seen Him physically, in Him, though now I see Him not, but I believe. Because of the working of the Holy Spirit, when the Word was spoken to me, I knew. In my heart I knew. Here is the truth. Nowhere else. My Jesus, my Lord, loves me. On the cross, He says, look to me. I have looked to Him. I trust in Him. I know He loves me. He loves me forever because He's alive. And He says He's coming for me. So, believing, I rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory because I know He's coming back for me. Oh, this is the best, the greatest comfort. What's the point of my following a leader who afterwards died? Got buried. Now I lost my leader. Or someone who tells you a lot of tall tales and never fulfills anything. But here is my Lord Jesus, as I go and I die for you. 3 days I will rise from the dead. And He arose. He arises. He is alive forevermore. And He says to you, all of us who have any problem, He says to you, behold, I am He that liveth and was dead. On the cross they put me to death. But I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. And that's where we do not want to go. he has the keys and he locked it up. You don't go there because you have Jesus already. So no, what do? We conclude. Verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren. Believing in Jesus admits you into His family. Always come to church seeing the rest as family, and enlarge your circle of acquaintances and friends, and not just meet on the Lord's Day Sunday in church, but begin to know one another outside of the four walls of this church. Possible? Absolutely. Today is just a phone call away. Take it up and call somebody and say, I'm so and so. I hear you got something I can do for you. Love one another. How do you love one another? Sympathize, empathize, they say. I feel for you. I know you have a problem. I can do something for you. Why not pray together? Whenever we meet, don't just say, hey. In Chinese, always say, Japan. I don't know why the greeting in Chinese is always, have you had your food? As though everybody is hungry all the time. But I say, how about when we meet, how's your Bible reading? By the way, I must apologize, I've not spoken to those who wanted to read through the Bible this year. But nevertheless, I can assure you, I pray for you. I pray that you will be faithful reading the Bible through the year. Now is June 14th, very soon half the year is gone. Have you read your Bible faithfully? You see, these are things that encourage one another. Why not talk of these things instead of always saying, hey, Bible. Yeah. Have you read your Bible? And encourage one another. And tell each other your experiences of reading the Bible. Whether some part has appealed to you. Of course, some of the old parts in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, some of them, is quite difficult to read. Especially the genealogies, reading all the time those Hebrew names. Wow, how to read through, but still you read. But then there are some bright parts. And you are blessed. Blessed with the reading of God's Word. Share that blessing. Love one another. And encourage one another. This is how we can encourage one another and show the love of Jesus. Verse 22, seeing then you have purified your souls, obeying the truth of the gospel through the Spirit who helps you to understand. By the way, when you read God's Word, always pray. Always pray. Never take up the book and just read. I got to read, I read. And then finish, close your Bible. Always pray, Lord, I want to read your Word. Open my eyes to see, behold, wonderful truth out of your book, that truth will be hid in my heart, apply to me, change my life, make me better. Pray when you read. So, through the Spirit, I'm still on verse 22, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, unto genuine love of the brethren. How can you genuinely love your brethren? How to? I have no doubt you know how to. Examine your own situation. How to visit one another. How to invite somebody to your house and having a meal after which we can pray together and share an experience together and read the Word of God together. Have family worship together. Why not? How to love one another. This is the way. See then that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Pure heart. How to have the pure heart? Lord, give me the pure heart, that I will feel for someone. And then I will practice what you teach me to do, and do it fervently, as unto the Lord. The Lord will give you His reward. So wonderful. I say, how do you prove all this? Answer is, do. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. You say, oh, beautiful pudding. How do you prove it's good? Eat it. How do you prove God's blessings on you? Do it. Love one another. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, may your Holy Spirit speak to us, that we will realize our Christianity is not just a form, and not just a routine, and not an insurance, but it is a changed life. The life of God in us, to see each other here as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as family. And that we will begin to love one another as family, as brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, with fervent, unfeigned, genuine love. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.